Doxology number 7 is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 and 20. I'll read it. Doxology number 7, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 to 20. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And we should note, of course, that verse 20 specifically is the doxology. I read verse 19 for a little more context. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Just as a brief reminder, not to go into all the details of our introduction, but just a brief reminder that a doxology in the New Testament context is simply a brief hymn of praise to God. Literally means to give honor or glory to God, to give an utterance of honor and glory to God. And all the 17 doxologies conclude with an amen, so be it. So we look at the one found in Philippians. The context here from verse 10 to verse 20 is Christian giving and God's resources. Christian giving and God's resources. Just a little background on the epistle to Philippians that will sort of set the context here for the doxology. Philippians is interesting in a particular way in that we don't get a lot of doctrine presented. And if there is doctrine, it's more presented in an abstract or indirect way and not presented didactically like we get in, for example, Romans or Galatians or Ephesians or Colossians. For example, chapter 2, we get the fact that the Lord Jesus was God and he was equal to God, but he made himself of no reputation. Then we get the incarnation, his great humiliation. But it's not presented in a doctrinal way or in a didactic way. It's presented in a way to promote humility in the believers. It's presented to us as an object lesson that we may humble ourselves and live in the pattern of the humiliation of Christ. So the point isn't to present the doctrine of Christ's deity, but rather to show his great humiliation and his great humbling as a pattern for us as believers, not to think more highly of ourselves, but to have low thoughts of ourselves and to walk in the path of humility. If you want to look at the overall view of Philippians, chapter 1, we get Christ as our life. In chapter 2, Christ is presented as our example. As I've just been saying, his abasement, his humiliation is presented as a pattern for our own hearts. So chapter 2 is Christ as our example. Chapter 3 is Christ as our object. He's presented as the one who is in glory. And so as we have our eyes on him, this gives us energy for the race and to seek after that glorification ourselves as if we had not obtained it, even though it is ours by grace to run the race, to walk in a way as if we were trying to obtain it, Paul says. And then chapter 4, Christ our strength. Regardless of our circumstances, Christ is all sufficient. And so some have called Philippians the epistle of Christian experience. And this is what I said at the outset. We don't really get doctrine presented. We don't get sin and forgiveness. We don't get the flesh. Only Paul mentions the flesh only to say that we have no confidence in it. But the doctrine of the fall of man, of the flesh, sins, forgiveness, justification, all of these topics are not directly mentioned in Philippians. It's true Christian experience. We know that Christ is in heaven and in glory, and we are here on earth, and we are following after him. And these are this is the true Christian experience down here, our exercises here on earth. Now, when Paul wrote Philippians, of course, he was in prison at the time. We see that in chapter 1, that he was straight between the two. He was torn between the two, whether he should remain here on earth on behalf of the Philippians or whether he should depart to be with Christ, which is far better. And that's one of the, again, indirect doctrines of the immediate presence upon death, the Christian's immediate presence with the Lord. Soul sleep is a false doctrine. But again, it's not presented in a doctrinal way, but just as a Christian fact, as something that Paul took for granted in a certain way, and that he was torn between the two, whether he should stay here or depart and to be with Christ. And so he's in prison, and he's in rough circumstances. He's in difficult circumstances. But those in Macedonia had sent him a gift. And the Philippians were Macedonians. They were poor. They weren't like the Corinthians in the southern part of Greece, who were wealthy. Paul never sought any help or money from the Corinthians, lest they should boast. But the Macedonians, those in Philippi, who were more poverty-stricken than the Corinthians, they of their poverty gave Paul a gift and sent it to him while he was in prison. And this is recorded in 2 Corinthians, out of their deep poverty, their deep need that they sent to him. And so this Paul picks up the thread here about speaking about their gift in verse 10. Then verse 11, he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want or in respect of need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content." And so we get the great teaching here of Christian contentment despite our circumstances. And I like how it's translated in the English Standard Version. It says, "I have learned the secret." I've learned the secret of Christian contentment. And the Darby translation translates it this way: "I have been initiated into this." In other words, this is Paul's experience. It's something that he learned personally. It wasn't something that came naturally to him, but it's something that he learned experimentally as a believer, that whatever circumstance he found himself in, that his contentment was found elsewhere. His contentment was not in the circumstances. It was despite the circumstances. His contentment was in Christ. And so he says in verse 12, "For I know how to be abased and I know how to abound." That is, I know how to be poor and I know how to be rich. I know how to behave when there's an abundance of things, and I know how to behave when there's a lack of things. I've learned this, Paul says. It's been my experience, whether in wealth or poverty. And either of these things can be a source of discontentment. Obviously, we can see when, if we're poor, if we're in hard circumstances, difficult circumstances, where we can't make ends meet, there would be discontentment. And we look around on others who have more than we do, we would be discontent. So there's that danger there for our hearts. But also the danger of discontentment comes in wealth too. When we have everything that money can buy, our hearts can still be discontented, because true satisfaction does not come in wealth, and it does not come from the lack of wealth. True contentment comes from Christ and having our hope in Him. And then, of course, we get verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Or I think the best manuscripts have, you see it in the Darby translation, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." No doubt he was referring to Christ. "I can do all things through Him who gives me the power," the Darby translation says. And we often quote this verse for all sorts of situations, and that's fine, because it's true in all situations. But Paul is particularly thinking here of the circumstances of his ministry, of experiencing need, you know, not knowing where the next meal would come from, or how he would support the work in spreading the gospel. And he learned that "I can do all things through Him that gives me the power." His source, his power, was in Christ and nowhere else. But of course, we can stand upon this promise for all sorts of situations, as we often do. And so Paul continues on. He says, verse 14, "Notwithstanding, you have well done," or "you've done well, in that you communicated with me in my affliction." He's commending them that they had done well in supporting him in this ministry. And so he praises He praises them for that. And then we are getting closer now to our doxology, and we come down to verse 19. Now, the point here is that God will supply. God would supply his needs, and God did supply his need, and he used the Philippians to do that. But the source was really God. And so he says in verse 19, "But my God now shall supply all your need." Because you see, the Philippians were in need themselves. They gave out of their poverty. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 9, but it could be chapter 10, that out of their deep poverty they gave to him. But my God, you see, Paul had learned this himself. He says, not here, he doesn't say our God. He says it a little further on. But he says, my God, something I've learned. Paul says, I've learned this, and so I know it'll be true for you too. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. You know, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And we're not speaking here about prosperity gospel. Don't misunderstand me, okay? We're not talking, prosperity gospel is a false doctrine. But having said that, let's not lose sight of the fact that God will supply for our needs when we ask. Our Father in heaven will supply everything that we need. And notice what we need, all your needs, not all your wants, okay? You want a BMW or a Mercedes-Benz or $1 million, you may not get that. You probably won't get that. It's not everything you want will be supplied, but everything you need will be supplied through him, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And then we get the doxology in verse 20. Now unto God our Father. Now he brings all the believers in. First he said he personalizes it first, but my God shall supply all your need. Paul learned that personally, but he widens it out now in the doxology to the collective of all believers, and specifically the Philippians here. Now unto God our Father, and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. As Christians, we, through our Christian experiences, our ups and downs, we have learned to give praise unto our God and our Father collectively. A great praise goes up to our God, and may that continue to be true of us every day. And so now, just close this off. I hope you're encouraged as we continue on the study of the doxologies. I'm not putting these out very quickly now because it's my traveling season, but as I have time, I'll do that. So may the Lord encourage you today. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Amen.